Been on this series about courage. How many of you have benefited from just the work of the Spirit of God? We're finishing that up this morning, and we have Pastor Lori going to share. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. I don't know about you, but I'm going to jump on the bandwagon of Wednesday nights. I have to admit, I don't come on Wednesdays because I'm usually doing Tuesday youth, but I'm going to be the bandwagon jumping on there this Wednesday. I'm looking forward to it. So, okay, bear with me here. I had to get all my stuff out of the way. How's everybody doing today? Good to know. Good to know. Well, today we're talking about courage. The message today is courage to let go of the past and enter the new. So let's pray. Father God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. We bind all distractions, all chaos, all confusion. Father, I pray that we would have spiritual ears to hear and that a heart to understand your love for us in Jesus' name. Well, I don't know about you guys. I've been very, very busy. Okay, I've been gone for weeks. I've been working like 12-hour days, and it's just been really intense. And Pastor, he's so great. He's like, you don't have to do the message. And I'm like, okay, that's a good idea. And then I was praying and I asked the Lord, and he said, I want to show you something. I want you to know that when you're weak, I'm strong. And I felt like he kind of wanted to test me in that. So I just want to share that, like, when we're weak, he's strong, right? So today we're going to talk about courage to let go of the past, courage to enter the new season. I believe that the Holy Spirit is revealing that the body of Christ has entered a new season and the grace for the old is gone. And that is why some of us are feeling unsettled, right? One season ends, but another has started, and some of us are in between because we don't know what to do. I believe this morning that the Lord is encouraging us to move. It's time to let go of one season and embrace the new. I don't know about you, but moving is a hassle, okay? I'm all about the destination. I'm all about where we're going. I'm all about what I'm going to do when I get there, but I don't like the process, right? And you can get stuck in the process. There's a lot to sort out. There's a lot to figure out. What stays? What goes? What do I, like, do I keep that? I don't know. I've had that for 10 years. I might wear that. No, I'm not going to wear that. But I like that. I wore that once in the 80s, and everybody liked it then. So you just don't know, you know? So this is what we need to be looking at spiritually as we go into the next season. I almost see that the Lord, Father God, is like our shepherd. We're sheep. We've been in this pasture for a long time. We've eaten and eaten and eaten and eaten out of this one pasture. And now he's saying, come on. He's prodding us. You're unsettled, not because of the devil, but it's the Lord. He's prodding you. Don't get comfortable in the old season because it's over. You've lost the grace for it because you need to get into the new. So just like a shepherd prods his little sheep to get into the new pasture, you almost feel like you're being driven. Like, hold up, get off my back. You know, but that's, he's prodding us. He's not being mean. He's not driving us like an enemy. He's a shepherd. He needs the sheep to get out of that dead area and get into the new. Amen? All right. When God told the Israelites to leave Egypt, he didn't tell them that there were going to be giants in the land because they probably wouldn't have gone. He told, you know, they were already freaking out, as Pastor just mentioned, just after 3 days of leaving, and they were in slavery. He didn't tell them about the giants. He didn't tell them about the battle. What did he tell them? He told them about the land that was flowing with milk and honey. He told them about the promise. So that's how God leads us. He tells us about the promise. Come out of the old, get into the new. So I asked the Lord while I was preparing this, and he said, this is the first thing he said, the first point of how do you get out of one season and into the new season? The first thing you need to know is, where are you? So where are you? That's the first thing the Lord spoke to me. Where are we? Where are you? The first point this morning is when you're about to travel somewhere, you need to kind of know, like, the point of reference. You know, you need, like, you know, when you're at the mall and you're like, where is, like, Ulta? I cannot find it here. And you go to the little map thing. I'm actually one of those people that use the little map thing. If I'm really impatient, I'll just ask somebody, hey, is there an Ulta in the store anywhere, you know? But and it says you're here, right? So where are we? And I don't know if you remember this, but in Genesis 3, verse 1 through 9, God asked two interesting people that we know, Adam and Eve, where are they? So I want to read out of here, because it's very interesting. And my Bible is very old, and I decided today I'm going to have to get a new one. Okay. So here's the thing. In a couple chapters, I'm going to read out of chapter 3. But before that, in chapter 2, God makes Adam. And this is important to know, because he told Adam, he gave him a command. He said, Adam, of every tree of the garden, you can eat freely. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat it. For when you eat it of that day, you will surely die. Now, he told Adam this. I don't know if you know this or not, but Eve wasn't even created yet. That's a whole other message right there. Maybe one day we'll talk about that. I'm not going to go there. So it was really Adam's responsibility to tell Eve, and I'm just going to drop it right there. Amen. That's all I'm saying. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "Well, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, don't touch that, because you will surely die." And then the serpent said to "You will surely die?" He questions her. "For God knows that in the day that you eat, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. You'll know good and evil." He's kind of holding out on you, honey. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she started listening to him, that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took the fruit and ate it. Nothing happened then, but it happens when Adam eats it. And then all is lost. And then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam, and he said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten the tree which I commanded you not to?" And the man said, "The woman." Okay, and then the woman blames the serpent. So what I'm talking about today is the next move of God is about the ability to be open and honest before the Lord. And many of us, we think, first of all, I got to say this about Adam and Eve. Does anybody ever, besides me, ever get frustrated about them? Like, there's times I'm like, "Hey, thanks a lot, Adam and Eve, for, like, blowing it for the rest of humanity." You know, and I'm getting up on a Monday morning and I got to go to work, or I'm pulling weeds. Thanks a lot. You know, or then I think, too, like, when you read it, you don't know the timing involved. So a lot of times people read it and they say, "God said, don't eat of that fruit." And then Adam and Eve ate the fruit. And you're like, did they even try to resist the enemy? Like, did they even stop and think just for a second? But we don't know how much time was there. We don't know all that was going on. And if life depended on us, I believe half-truths and lies on a daily basis, unfortunately. So I want to talk today about, as we enter into this next move of God, we have to have the ability to be open, honest, vulnerable to God and to others. That's going to be key. Adam and Eve realized they were naked. Now, I don't know what they were clothed with prior to that. I don't know if they had, like, cashmere or whatever it was. I'm sure that it was a heavenly garment, because they were in the kingdom. They actually were functioning at the peak of performance. I mean, they were walking with God daily, freely communicating with him. They were at the height of what humanity could even exist at. And so the nakedness, don't get caught up in the whole flesh thing. That's just flesh. Don't even look at it like that. I'm talking about spiritual nakedness, okay? Just get out of that. Because it had to do with the fact that they were able to be intimate with one another, they were able to be vulnerable with one another, and there was nothing hidden. There was nothing broken, there was nothing bruised, there was nothing hidden. When we go into this next season with God, there can't be anything broken, bruised, there can't be things hidden. We need to be open with God and with others. Now, I don't know, I used to do this. I'd be like, "Well, I'll tell God anything, but I'm not telling you nothing. I want to talk to God about it." I don't know if you've ever done that. That's not really true humility, and that's not going to work in the next season. You have to be able to be open and honest. And then we look at these fig leaves and we think, what a pathetic covering. Didn't they find anything else? That's really pathetic. But if we look at our lives, and I've done this, and I know many have done this, we don't use fig leaves, but we use like brick and mortar, and we barricade ourselves from other people. I'm not going to be hurt again. And you build this brick and mortar up all around you, and not only are you thinking that you're protecting yourselves from other people, but you're keeping yourself from God, and worse, you're keeping yourself from God's destiny. You can't walk out from that. So the next season, you can't take that. You can't do that old thing that you used to do of hiding and blaming, because there's two things that Adam did and Eve did. They not only hid themselves, but then they blamed. And a lot of times that's what we do. This is a season that we have to take responsibility now. We have to be honest with ourselves and honest with others, okay? That's what's going to happen. You have to know where you are and be willing to step outside. I'm going to say this in the next move of God, fake Christianity is not going to work. I mean, I don't like to say it like that, but that's how it is. Fake Christianity is not going to work anymore. You can't do the things that you used to do in the new season. You will miss it entirely. You have to be real now. Real with God, real with others. Whoever you're blaming still for where you're at, you must make a decision to repent of that. Ask God to help you. Walk away from that. That's the past. It's over. It's done. Move on. You can't get into the future if you're holding on to anything from the past season, both good and bad. Amen? So know where you are. Won't be able to fake it. And here's the thing. We have Jesus as our model. He was open and honest with everybody. First of all, how vulnerable can you be than to be a baby? All right? The King of all glory comes as a baby. Who does that? Our Father God is wild to think of that major idea, to create this major rescue mission by sending the King of all kings as a baby. And then Jesus was vulnerable with his friends. He takes them up on a mountaintop, three of them, and shows them who he really is. Wow, mind blown. Can you imagine? He takes three of his friends. Come on, John, Amanda, Pastor, let's go up here. I'm going to show them the mountaintop. Boom! And Moses is there, and Elijah's there, and you see Jesus in all of his glory. And me, like, I'd be like, Peter, I got to do something. I got to make, like, some kind of altar or something for this. You know, you just mess up the whole thing. You know? Kill the moment completely. But Jesus revealed himself. He also was vulnerable about things that are happening. He had close people to him. He said, I'm about to be betrayed. I'm going to be betrayed. And how transparent and vulnerable was our Lord when he was in the garden and he was crying at the top of his lungs. He didn't care who hurt. How many of us pray our guts out in front of people? Really, let's be honest. He was on his face, sweating drops of blood, pleading with his friends, come on, stay awake with me, man. I need your prayers. You need to be praying because something's going to go down and I don't even know if you're going to make it. I'm carrying your burden about worrying about whether you're going to make it, and I'm going to drink this cup and I got to take this burden. I want to do it and I want to be everything that God, I mean, he's pouring it out. You can't be any more transparent than that. Drops of blood coming from his face. So he's our model. Come on. In the next season, he's our model. He's our model. Honest with God, honest with people, blame is done. Okay, this is where you take care of all of that right here at the altar. Amen? Please hear me. You will not be able to fake it when a pure, authentic move of God comes. It will hit like a wave, and you will either be able to ride it all the way or you will be scattered by the force of it. You must know where you are and allow God to refine you. You'll need courage. You'll need courage. Today's the day that the walls come down and vulnerability and truth prevail. Amen? All right. That was point number one. Point number two is say yes to the dress. I guess point number one could have been naked and afraid. Never mind. I don't watch that show. Now, come on now. I'll be honest, I did once, but anyways. Okay, so the point number two is say yes to the dress. And Jesus is actually sharing this parable. And he's talking about a king that's having a wedding, and he invites many to come. And I'm not going to go into all of the reasons of that, but there's one thing that stuck out to me. And it's in verse 11, Matthew 22, verse 11. It says, so then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Listen, then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Wow, that's a sobering scripture. It's in red, so you know, that came from Jesus, our loving Savior, gracious God, full of mercy, full of grace. This is what he said. Many are chosen, but few are called. Or many are called, few are chosen. Mainly because few of us choose. Here's the thing about the man. It sounds harsh if you don't really know what's happening. You're like, man, all he did was just didn't have the right clothes on. Jeez, tough crowd, right? Dragging him out, throwing him in outer darkness. Woo, that's intense. But then you really figure out what's going on here. It's not at all. Everybody's invited. Salvation's a free gift. It's a free gift. Everybody's invited to the wedding. Hallelujah. Come on in. Everybody's invited. The wedding garment is a picture of someone who has been invited and who is dressed and ready. The garment is that. It's a pretty sobering story, and salvation is a free invitation and gift, but to live for Jesus requires something from us, right? He said to take your cross and follow me. Why do we forget these scriptures? Why? What has happened to us in the body of Christ that we forget these scriptures? And we wonder why take your cross and follow me. The wedding garment is a picture of that. The man who was removed may seem like a wedding crasher, but he's not. He answered the invitation. Salvation is a free gift. He said yes to it. He was welcome, but he wanted to come in his own attire. He wanted to come the way that he wanted to come. He might have said something like, hey, nobody can tell me what to do. Nuh-uh. I'm coming the way I want to come. You know what? I could probably dress this way because you know what? I can repent later because what? God's grace, right? You know, I know this isn't right. I know I shouldn't be doing this, but you know, I can repent. I can repent for it later, right? I don't know. You fill in the blank. I think it's called greasy grace. I've heard of that before. It's like pushing God's hand. There's a preparedness, a readiness that we have to walk in now. When you come into the new season, it's authentic. You have to say yes to the dress of being refined. Yes to the dress of being processed. Yes to the dress of purifying yourself. Yes to the dress. Fake Christianity, not going to work. God wants to clothe us in his righteousness and his holiness. It will cost you something. It will cost you everything. And he does give us grace. Hallelujah. Grace to say yes. Grace to go through the process. Grace to be changed. Grace to be loved. Grace to have relationship with him. Don't be like the guy that didn't choose. And many are called. Everyone's invited. Salvation is a free gift. It costs Jesus everything. But it still requires you to walk in his holiness. Be holy as I am holy. We forget these scriptures. I think I don't know what's happened in the last 10 years. But it's over. That's an old season. It's an old season. We're coming into the new. This is the new. Amen. We say yes to the dress. Those willing to choose to be refined, processed, and obedient. God wants to do something great in you. But before he can move through you, he has to heal what's in you. Listen to that. He wants to do something great in your lives, but in order for him to move through you, he has to heal and correct and shape what is in you. Many are called, but few are chosen. Few choose, few say yes. Recently, my mom had surgery. She was in bad shape. Her whole walk was messed up. Couldn't walk, couldn't feel her hands. It was just crazy. So she went and had an MRI done, and they do this thing now, and they send you, it's called a medical hospital portal. You know, it sounds pretty alienish. Let me go on the portal, find out what's going on. So I go, she gets her MRI, you know, and of course you got to put 10,000 passwords in there to get it. I'm like, don't worry, Mom, I get it for you. So I pull it up and I start reading it, and this is before her doctor's appointment. She's going to have a doctor's appointment with a spine, like a spinologist or whatever, I don't know, a spine doctor, okay? So that's a pretty big deal when they're going to be messing with your spine. So they sent the MRI, and I thought, I'm going to read this MRI. So I, had my, junior medical degree, so I'm like, they have these huge words that just means bone spur, but it's I can't even pronounce that word. So what I did is I had my computer up and then I had my iPad here and I'm Googling the words that are on the MRI. Well, because I geeked out for so long on it, I actually kind of figured out what was going on. And then I Googled what kind of symptoms and boom, the doctors probably hate when people do that, but boom, I figured it out, So when I went into the doctor's office with her, I kind of had an idea. And there was something that I had read in it. It said that if you don't have surgery, like to correct it, because literally my mother's spinal cord was being crushed. So it was pressing down on her spinal cord, which was affecting everything. You know, that's all kind of stuff going on in there. So anyway, I was reading it and it said, if you don't have that surgery, you're going to be paralyzed. That's what I said. I was like, that's not good. Like it said, permanently disabled, paralyzed. I was like, okay, that's pretty serious. So I didn't tell my mom that part because I didn't want to scare her. So we go to the doctor's office and, you know, the doctor pulls up the MRI. And of course, you know, I got my medical degree, so I'm tracking with her, you know. She's like, oh, yeah. And she's telling my mom all this, like, crazy thing she's going to do to her. She's like, I'm going to cut the piece of bone out right there. I'm going to go into your spine area and I'm going to cut that bone out. And then I'm going to place another piece of bone and a couple of screws and hike you up a little bit and you'll be fine. And I'm like, wow, who thought of that? Like, whoever thought, hey, you know what? You're struggling with walking. Let's go in and cut a bone out of your neck. See if that works. I mean, who was the first person that ever went through that surgery? You know what I mean? So she's telling my mom about all this stuff. And then she says, so do you want surgery? And I'm waiting for like the part to say, my mom's kind of hem-hawing, like, I'm waiting for the part to say, because you'll be paralyzed if you don't. But she didn't say that part. She just said, do you want surgery? And I'm like, and? And so finally I speak up and I said, well, here's the thing. I read something online and I Googled it, so I don't know. And I said that if you don't have the surgery, you're going to be permanently disabled. Like you'll be paralyzed. Is that true? She's like, oh yeah, that's true. That's what I said. And so then my mom's like, oh, I definitely want the surgery. Yeah? But Jesus did the same thing, didn't he? He'd go up to people, you want to be healed? Like the guy'd be like a mess. He'd be laying in rags and all crippled up or hurt or whatever. I don't know. And he'd be like, do you want to be healed? Like, well, yeah. But he always asked. He never gave the details. So my mom, here she is, you know, like, and then the thing was, I would say that same question is for today. Like, do you want to be healed? Because your walk's all messed up. And if you're not going to let God heal you so that he can move through you, you're going to be paralyzed spiritually and you're never going to get to where your destiny is. Because it's about letting him heal you so he can move through you. But here's the thing. When my mom got home from the hospital, it was intense. Like I had like flashbacks in my brain about crazy things I've had happen to me personally in the hospital. So I had to get prayer for that. But it was intense. Like she was in pain and I never saw her in pain before. And I was like her nurse now. I'm a doctor and a nurse now. Cause you know, they just send, you know, they literally go in and do all that stuff. And they're like, the next day you go home. And to me, I'm like, am I responsible for that? This is crazy. So we go home and she's in pain. And in my mind, I'm thinking, this is rough. This is hard. Like, why did we have that surgery? Like, why did I do that? And then I thought, because she'd be paralyzed if you didn't. And then that pushed me further. You know what I mean? Like, she'd be paralyzed if she didn't have it. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. And I remember one time I was at the hospital and I was watching a friend of mine have a baby. And I was like doing shots of Red Bull with her husband because we'd been up for like 2-3 days or some crazy number. And I remember watching her like push this baby out. And I remember thinking, this is impossible. Like, I was almost kind of like talking, I was almost like talking to God about it. I'm like, this is impossible, God. She can't have this. How is this going to happen? And it was such a silly thought because then I thought, well, wait a minute, I've done this twice. Like, that was me. 2 times I did that. And there's a woman giving birth right now. You know what I mean? She's probably thinking, this is impossible. It's not impossible. Don't allow the emotion and the intensity to trick you into thinking that your healing and your freedom and the pain that you're feeling is impossible because it's not. It'll trick you into not letting God do the work that he wants to do in your heart because he wants to heal you so that he can move through you. Amen? Woo, what else we got here? The same is true for you. The pain is worth it for you not to be spiritually paralyzed and ineffective. Don't let the brief period of intensity and the pain trick you into thinking it's impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Choose to say yes. And I'm going to end here in a little bit. And I want to tell you number 3 in leaving the old and coming into the new is you need to keep your tank filled. You need to have a full tank at all times. I went on a road trip with my daughter, best trip ever. I loved it. It was awesome. I'll use a term, kids. It was epic, you know, whatever. It was lit. So anyhow, I'm just trying to talk to the youth over there. It was lit, okay? That means, like, really cool. Yeah, come on. Come on, give it to me. All right. So I went on this road trip with her, and I had this one thing. It was stuck in my head the whole time. She was probably sick of hearing me say it. Every time we stop, we're going to, one, go to the bathroom. Two, fill our car up. Even if we don't really need it, I'm just going to fill it up anyways. And this was my reasoning, because I don't know where we're going. I've never been here before. I've never been here before. I've never been down this road. Never even been in this state before. I mean, I have no idea where we're going. And so there's two things we're going to do. We're going to go to the bathroom, which I didn't really care so much about that, because we can figure out tricky ways to do that. But fuel was important. And so as we go into this new season, we don't know where we're going. So we need to be filled up, right? So here's the thing. When we are actually, and she kind of thought my ideas were kind of dumb. All right. She was like, oh my gosh, Mom, you don't need hardly anything. I'm like, I'm going to fill up because I don't know where we're going. And so we keep our tank full. And so we go through Utah. And Utah was my time to give her my little mom life lesson, you know? Because Utah is like Kansas with mountains, all right? There's nothing. Nothing. It's beautiful, but it's Kansas with mountains. So we're driving through there, and every rest area had a big old red X closed, like all the way practically through the state until we found some little Indian reservation, I think, that we used. I don't even remember. It looked like an Indian reservation. We ran into some Texans while we were there. We're like, is this really a place we can use? Like, what anyway? So I was able to tell her, see? Because she was like, by that time, she was, Mom, this is not safe. How can they get away with not having places where you can get off? I said, I don't know, but we thought ahead. We kept our tank full. In this next season, you got to be willing to keep your tank full. The next move of God is for the new wine of his Spirit. The grace for the old has lifted, and because the Lord is wanting to for us to embrace the new. Okay, the old wineskin is dried up now. It won't hold the new move of God, okay? You got to keep your spirit filled up now. I'm going to say this. The new wineskin is your willingness to house the presence of God. The new wine is your willingness. That's a new wine. You're the wineskin. Your willingness to house the presence of God, okay? So how are you going to do that? Here's what I'm going to tell you. In the 80s and the 90s, you were able to just go up to people and say, hey, if you died tonight, man, where would you go? Like, where would you go? Where, like, if you died tonight, and be like, I don't know. Listen, there's a plan God has for you. And boom, they get saved. You could go out there right now and try to do that and come back and tell me what happens. People are blind now. The spirit of mankind has become dull. You know how you're going to do it? You're going to house the presence of God. You're going to let the spirit of God burn within you. You're going to cultivate a relationship with him. Okay, everybody loves a campfire. All you got to do is build a campfire. People come with their little hot dog on a stick and their marshmallows and their s'mores, right? Build a campfire. Everybody loves a campfire. Build a campfire. People will come to watch it burn. Build a campfire. People will come and watch you burn. If everybody in this room goes and builds a campfire, your own individual campfire, you come in here, we will be a blazing inferno. That's how we'll win people. That's how we'll win people, by an authentic move of his presence. Build a campfire. Nobody goes to a campfire without that it's not burning. Now, they may go up to it because they'll see the little ring. And they're like, hey, there's a campfire. Let's go down here. But when they get there and it's all cold, dried up, a bunch of ashes, they'll just move on, look for another one. Let it burn. Be a campfire. When we seek after God and we ask him to make us a place for his fire, then you'll see the lost come. Our job is to burn as individuals. And when we come together, our individual flames become an inferno. Build a fire of his presence. He wants you to ask him for it. Build the fire and they will come to watch it burn. Listen, at Azusa Street, way back when, in California, many, many, many years ago, Listen, this is the God that we serve today. He's alive. Young people, he's alive today. You never hear these stories because they haven't happened in a really long time. But they're going to happen again. They're going to happen again. And this is what happened in Azusa Street in California. When people would come together in that house, in that little room, that little church, that little building, fire would shoot 15 feet in the air. It looked like real fire. People picked up the phone. It was one of those rotary phones. You guys have probably never seen one. They're on the wall. They pick up the phone, and they dial their little number. And guess what happened? The fire department would come. On lots of times, the fire department came. There's no fire. There was no actual fire. The people in the church knew there was no fire. But the people that lived a few miles away, and they see flames shooting up high, it appeared like fire. That's what we want to see burn within us. In this next new season, let the fire of God burn in your life. Burn! This is my final point. This is my final point. What do you do when the fire is going out? Come on. This is where some of us are right now. What do? You stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up right now. Listen to me, because there's some in here that they don't know how to get the fire going. They're like, yeah, I remember. I don't even know what I'm doing. I know that I'm on a threshold. I know I need to go in, but I don't know how to get in there. Stir it up. Stir up the gifts that are within you. Stir them up. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gifts that were given to you when we laid hands on you. Some of you may have never had hands laid on you before. I don't know. But we all have gifts. We do. Whether you know what they are or not. You know he knows what your gift is. You know he gave it to you personally. So ask him. So ask him to help you stir up the gift to get the fire burning. I'm going to tell you one more thing. And I say this with all the love in my heart. I say this with all the love in my heart. So please hear me. If you want more, just ask him for it. Okay? That's that simple. You ask him for the more. Then I want to say this. It's time to go out of these walls. Please hear my heart. I love you, and I know that there's nobody that's in here that doesn't want to go reach somebody, okay? Get out of the walls of this church, okay? People will come into this church. They will. They will come in because we'll be burning, and God will bring them to us. But you, in order to get yourself stirred up, in order to put some logs on that fire, because it's a new fire, it's not the old fire, you need to get out of the walls of this building. And you need to go find somebody to serve. You need to go find somebody to wash their feet. You need to go find somebody. I mean, go to the laundromat and put a couple quarters in for some single mom. There are people in need in this city. Walk the streets and pray and just say, God, show me somebody. When you're at work and your coworkers are sitting next to you, pray. Listen to what they're saying. Many of you do this. I'm just saying these are ways that we can stir ourselves up. This is not a condemning thing. I'm just telling you, especially those that are single, because sometimes, you know, when you're a mother and you have little children, you're serving them, serving them, serving them. Okay? It probably wouldn't be wise for you to just leave your children and go out and do something for somebody else. That's not wise. You pour your heart into your children. People that are single, we don't necessarily have anybody, so you got to go looking. God will give you an assignment. Ask him for it, because the season of the past is done. That's over. We're in a new one. Amen. Okay, let's pray this. God, give us the courage to leave the old season and embrace the new season. Give us the courage to be authentic. Give us the courage to say yes and choose. We ask that you start the fire of your presence within us, and that we would burn, that we would stir the gifts up within us, that you would lead us. We choose to take a step outside these walls. Show us, lead us, those in need. In Jesus' name, Lord God, I thank you. Thank you, Father God.
Praise you, Lord. The Holy Spirit is hovering over these words of this message. We already had a time of coming down to the altar, but we're going to elicit that same response again. But this time, because you know where you live, the very first point, where are you? When God said, where are you? They weren't in a good place. And they were trying to cover up their own sin. and the Lord had an animal killed and put his own covering over them. For some of you today, it's the where are you? I want you to respond in your heart saying, I have been failing in this area and I need some help. That second point is incredible. It goes along with so much that's going on today, but you need to have the current work of the Holy Spirit in your life. To be a fake Christian is to be one that talks the talk and lives a completely different life. And the Lord is inviting you and I that we walk the walk. And if you've been fumbling in that area, this is a place for correction and help. And the third point, which I'm really excited about, is we will lay hands on you for a fresh ignition of the fuel from heaven to give you the power to live the way you need to live in Jesus Christ. If we didn't go every day before the Lord, I wouldn't make it. Let's go ahead and stand together. Hallelujah.